This is WMNF Tampa. Let's listen to a little music before we start Surly Voices.
In the closed door on the first floor, she's listening through the air shaft to see how long a swan song can last. And both hands, now use both hands. Oh no, don't close your eyes. I am writing graffiti on your body. I am drawing the story of how hard we tried. Watching your chest rise and fall like the tides of my life and the rising. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No man in the world. No man in the world.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
One stand still.
Your story is my story.
Buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I'm your host, Liz, in the studio, hoping to be joined by either Maria or Donna later. Sorry about the late start. Brought to you courtesy of the horrible traffic in Tampa since I moved here 20 some odd years ago. It's unbelievable to me how the traffic used to be and how it is now. And it's like, we need to like close the doors and say no more people until we can get all this sorted out. So lots of things in the news this week. And I'd love to talk to you about any of them that you want. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. So the first thing to talk about is, Where do you even start? Because there's so many good things to choose from this week. But let's start with the Super Bowl, which always garners a lot of attention, of course, and hardly ever for the right reason. But it was a big deal to Taylor Swift fans or Swifties. And so she's apparently dating one of the guys on one of the football teams. That's the extent I know of it. I don't even know if his team won. Taylor, and so Taylor Swift has been getting all this information, and all these bro flakes are just lamenting the fact that this woman is stealing all the attention from the football, or I don't know. Maybe they're jealous because she's a billionaire, which presents another problem because all this hero worship of a billionaire. And yeah, she gives her drivers and stuff big tips and stuff, but she's still a billionaire, you know? And so it's very frustrating to see all this fawning over a billionaire. I mean, take all that money and feed people with it. Shelter people with it. There's so much to... And yes, that is not a capitalistic worldview, but here we are. So, we have Taylor Swift setting the bro flakes off, which amuses white women to no small degree. And so they like her for number one, she has this huge audience and following. And number two, because she's teeing off the bro flakes. So that's one facet of the multifaceted Super Bowl jewel. So the next thing that people, I mean, because complaining was to be had from all quarters. So that was one thing. The bro flakes complaining about Taylor Swift. The socialists or democratic socialists complaining about billionaires and people fawning over them. And so... That's only the first part, and I am being joined by my superstar friend and co-host, Donna Davis. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fabulous. Or I am. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm doing fabulous after a small traffic delay. But I was just talking about one of your favorite topics, and that is Taylor Swift. And how the bro flakes were mad because she was stealing all the air out of the Super Bowl. And then another thing was the Democratic Socialists and the Socialists who are mad because she's a billionaire and everybody's fawning all over her. And I know you probably have some 2 or 3 cents to throw in there as well.
Well, I think that my post the other day was that it's like Zuccotti Park. The Occupy movement never happened.
Right.
We talked about the 1%. We talked about what even people that you might think of as, you know, nice to get there. The point is, if you have over $1 billion in a world where children are dying for want of a piece of bread, or because other countries are able to buy their way into illegal wars that amount to genocide, then, you know, you're probably not that great of a person.
Right.
They said she went to a Gaza gala or some type of a fundraiser. You know, does that make her, does that absolve her of her billionaire status and what it really means? And I don't think anyone is digging down into what it means. Just because she's the victim of misogyny by the same people that brought us Donald Trump, I do not believe that absolves Taylor Swift from billionaire status and what it means, and what it means for every single billionaire, not just her. So there are people who are local who will say, oh, I believe Susan Smith posted, formerly of the Progressive Coalition, posted that Taylor Smith gave this, you know, huge amount of money to the food banks when she came through town. But there's still food insecurity in Tampa. She didn't solve food insecurity in Tampa. She didn't solve the housing crisis in Tampa. Not one person stopped being homeless or food insecure because of that donation, because these are token or temporary fixes at best.
Right.
At best. So whether it's Beyonce, Jay-Z, Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian telling women to get off their you know, fannies and worked their fannies off every day. When she literally made a sex tape to become rich, whether it's Instagram influencers talking about how hard they work when really it's the luck of the draw. Nobody knows whether it's going to be Miss Charles and Netta. Whether it's in Kardashian that wins the social media lottery.
Uh-huh.
So I think people need to just back this whole thing up and really think about their favorite billionaires.
Yes. And there's a long, long list. So let's see. I have an email here. Morning, Liz. Sorry, I missed a few shows, but I was wondering where Amina has been. Love your show, Mark from Brandon. Thank you, Mark. Amina's work schedule actually got messed with, and she's got meetings scheduled on Thursday mornings for right now. But we were thinking she's going to be back in a week or two. But thank you. We'll tell you that. We'll tell her that you asked about her. So thank you very much. Another thing, jumping off of Taylor Swift, another thing certain quarters got all riled up about was that the Black National Anthem was sung during the ceremony. And it's like, why do you people even care if the Black National Anthem, oh, it should only be the real anthem. Oh, you mean the racist one that talks about, you know, the slaves and stuff like that? Maybe we ought to think about changing our national anthem. But anyway, and the actual name of the Black National Anthem is Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I had thought that that was like an old, old hymn, but it only dates back to like 1900. And so what do you think about the brouhaha over that,
Don? It's typical racist nonsense.
Right. How does it hurt you? Number one, probably most, and I'm sure most of the players are African American, and so we can't even give them this, you know?
You know, I think that the sense that, so white supremacy, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a big word. People think of the Klan. People think of white nationalism on steroids when they hear those words. I think white supremacy is the idea that whiteness, not just people's skin color, but that too, because people are out here bleaching their skin and so on and changing their noses.
Mm-hmm.
That Anglo whiteness, because they're all different types, right? Like there's Arab white people, there are Jewish white people, there's all these ethnicities
mm-hmm.
Under whiteness that some are conflated with race, you know, wrongfully so. But Anglo whiteness being the standard and everyone else like needing to conform or assimilate to that. This really gets white men going. They're going to start calling us now because I've said these things. But I don't think that these guys who really get out, been out of shape over this, have ever thought of what it would be like. I mean, these people who turn restaurants out or the Target customer service out because they don't get a small thing that's their way are telling people that when the police insinuate themselves into their perfectly legal activities and interrogate and harass and harangue, that they're going to be as calm as they are when they can't print a paper receipt for them in Target. It's highly unlikely. Borders on the inane, but we won't stop there. We'll keep going. And so white supremacy, big word, Anglo-whiteness is the standard. People who are upset that it's been the standard and it's thrown untold numbers of lives away at its behest have never considered what it's like to not be a white person with their parents' insurance money and their home.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many Americans who have lived for generations with no inheritance, with no access into the places where people of color and other ethnic white people are told to compete, that don't have the tools to do so. They fail to realize that whiteness is a culture and you don't just walk into it, right?
Right.
Corporate America is one such product of whiteness and of white culture that you can't just walk into. You can't take a really talented person that's never been in that culture and just drop them in like a tea bag and expect to get, you know, perfect tea. So when I hear things like that, it's, to me, it's garden variety whiteness that is untainted by the idea that there are struggles associated with being outside that culture and not having access or proximity to it.
Okay. So as you predicted, somebody calls, and it's Steve in Largo.
Of course.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I'm very honored to be the first caller.
Yeah.
A great show on WMNF. Start with something creepy, but it could be humorous if you see the video. I watched this great progressive network on YouTube called Midas Touch, and they're hammering Trump and the GOP MAGA even better than the Lincoln Project and certainly better than legacy media. And for Trump, his pre-Super Bowl party was so Epstein. Somebody allowed a group of middle school and high school cheerleader, females only, to dance in female cheerleader costumes in front of him while he stood on an elevated stage attempting to dance with them. And the dance he did, Midas Touch transposed two videos, was the same dancing, and I put that in quotes, that he would do when he was hanging out with Epstein. And it was just sick. Who would allow their daughters to, or their young minor daughters, to perform for Donald Trump?
MAGAs.
Yeah, I guess so. It was disgusting. The video is, it would be funny if it wasn't so creepy.
So there's video out in the internet somewhere.
Yeah, on Midas Touch. They're doing a lot of super clip compilations of Trump's sexual creepiness, his verbal incest regarding Ivanka, the statements that he's repeatedly made about Ivanka that are sexualized, as well as his invasion of the dressing rooms of minors when he owned beauty pageants that included minors. That's Midas Touch Network. It's a beautiful network. It's the WMNF of YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So the other thing is a little more serious. There's a great study, an academic report called, the title is called 9 Months a Slave. Pregnancy is involuntary servitude to a fetus. And this is one of the best ways to counter these fetus worshiping, anti-women folks. It's just, it's just an unassailable takedown of the idea that especially government can require women to sacrifice their health, life, pursuit of happiness and success on behalf of a fetus. It's published in the Reproductive Health Matters Journal, and just incredible. I love how they use, it's a playoff of 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
And so the only other thing is, I don't know if you caught this, but Kellyanne Conway, still somehow influential in the world, former Trump shill and likely paramour, she said that the Republican Party should double down on a nationwide abortion ban and other anti-women's freedom methodology because secretly, women do want to be slaves to reproduction and to men. She also said that Trump, which he did do, should nominate his daughter or a daughter-in-law to head the Republican National Committee. So it remains that there are lots of problems that face women in America and young girls. But Trump and MAGA seem to be this tip of the spear for making The Handmaid's Tale into nonfiction.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me say that, and you have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Steve. Talk to you later. I mean, that's actually been tried before, the enslavement concept under the 13th Amendment. it all depends on where you're making the argument. But yeah, the abortion formerly was protected under the 1st, the 14th, and the 13th Amendments. And so when you have these constitutional originalists sitting on the Supreme Court who don't believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing organism, then that's where it all falls down. Let's see. I have an email here from Dave. The only billionaires I like are the ones who want to pay their fair share or the ones that donate their money to charity. And they're yes. still billionaires, Dave. Yes.
Yes, but it's because if they paid their fair share, they probably wouldn't be billionaires.
Oh, all the money we could be sitting on, and nope. Let's see. Somebody sent another thing, but it looks like a text, but I can't read it because it's caught up in something. All right. So, we have Taylor Swift. We have the Black National Anthem to make people angry. I mean, so many things. I mean, think of all the money that is wasted on events like the Super Bowl. And I know that this is not a popular opinion, but too bad. So it's like, okay, all this money that you're spending to do a modern version of Gladiators, why not use that money? Why not use that money to do something good instead? But you know, we in America like our entertainment, and so, and I know Donna, your stepson is in the NFL, so
yeah.
You probably don't share my view, but
no, I do actually.
Oh, okay,
and so does his dad. You know, whose son in name is on that jersey. My stepson is a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire as a consequence of being in the NFL. So that doesn't follow that I am a multimillionaire because of that. Because
right.
I know modern kids don't work like that, right?
Nope. It don't go up, it goes down.
Right. The days of I'ma buy my mama a house
right.
Are pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Right. You saw how Kobe fought with his family to make sure they didn't get very much of his embarrassing fortune, right?
Right.
Before or after his death. So you know, they don't necessarily follow that once one person in a family becomes a multimillionaire, that all of the people in the family. So well, please don't at me, ask me for any money. I'm still working for a living. So, you know, I think that if you look at all of these issues, because I've been gone for a long time, so I haven't been sitting in Tampa just perseverating on things like this.
Uh-huh.
I've been up in New York City trying to help you know, change the balance of power.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because
I don't normally, the reason why you guys didn't know when I was leaving to do it, I said I was going to New York, but I never say what I'm doing until afterwards. One, because my Facebook and my social media is a circus.
Mine is just cats and snarky memes.
Yes, it's a lot of things happening there. And so I basically change my permissions to friends and I sneak away and I find myself a corner in wherever I am. And I work like, you know, nobody's business mm-hmm. to make it happen. And so, you know, Santos vacated the seat in New York's District 3, Congressional District 3, late last year because of his shenanigans and patent dishonesty. And he is a scam artist, essentially. And so Tom Suozzi held that seat from 17 to 22. And he vacated that seat to run for governor against Kathy Hochul. And this is his second run. He ran for Elliot Spitzer. Back in the early 2000s and lost. And then he decided that this special election to replace Cuomo was going to be his opportunity to get in. But so he vacated his seat to do that. And Santos won and did a lot of terrible things in the year he was in office. And so there was a special election. The governor has to appoint it and within 60 days. So it's very quick. The election has to be scheduled. And so the election was called in early November. in early December, and I was off to begin a campaign. We started a week late because of contract negotiations. Started that on the 27th of December. So I worked through New Year. I left here on the 21st, and I worked every day until we started putting people on the doors. We had to train them. And I worked every day through New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, the end of, Kwanzaa, everything, up until 2 days ago, until Tuesday. I did not take a day off. I was afraid to shut the canvas down due to weather, because New York weather in January and February can be tricky. And so I worked every single day for about 53 days. And I slept all day yesterday, of course. Swazi won. It was in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Washington. There were tons of organizations on the ground here. I mean, you couldn't even get your elbow in. There were so many volunteers. They were being bused from Westchester, upstate. They were coming from Jersey to talk to the constituents in New York's District 3 to get them to go out and vote for Tom Swazi. Now, for those of you who say, Swazi is an Israeli apologist, blah, 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 get this one. He was running against a former IDF paratrooper, an Ethiopian Jew named Maisie Melissa Pillip. And so she was very apologetic for the genocide and was very anti-Palestinian state. She's not for a two-state solution. So we had to stop that. Can't have that in Congress, right? And so we stopped it. Did we stop it with the person that we wish we had? No. We stopped it with what we had, which is what the Democratic Party has been reduced to at this point. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And we got Tom Swazi and we worked like nobody's business to get him elected. And he's now going to have to run against a new district that may not look like what it looks like now. And he may have a hard time retaining that seat or an easier. We don't know yet. But he will have to go through a primary now that he's taken the seat. And we'll see what happens in November. Right now, as it stands, they could only lose two votes. Republicans can only lose two votes, and then they're going to have a problem because of the work that we just did.
And that's awesome. Congratulations. I know how hard you worked and how much trouble you put up with from your
Yes, normally the racisms and the misogynoirs come from the opponent's side.
Right.
I don't have an NDA, so I can speak freely here. In this case, the misogyny and the racism was our friend. It was a near and dear friend. And I think that's because of the district. The district is moderate Democrats who are swings. They sometimes vote for Republicans. You know, some of them were MAGA people. Mm-hmm. And so there was a very pronounced aura of we don't believe you can do what they say you can do. Mm-hmm. That ran as a thread. And I deal with that as a Black woman in a white male dominated field. The pictures that I have of like me on conference calls, because I had to save that. I had to document that. It's like all white men.
Yep.
And you know, every time. For those of you who say he can't get along, absolutely can. It's absolutely my entire life, which is what gives me the license to speak on these things the way I do, even though they're my opinions, right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily your reality. I speak on these things because my entire career, and I'm a workaholic, so I spend more time with mediocre white men than I do with my family.
Yep.
And so that's why I speak authoritatively on these issues. It was not fun.
Well, and again, congratulations. And I'm so sorry that you have to put up with that. Because people think, especially people in the South, think that it's not racist up north. It's racist everywhere, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, for someone who really has given myself to honing my skill set and becoming an expert in field consulting and directing field operations, I can tell you this. The racism in the North will allow you, if you're talented, to have quite a bit of opportunity. Right? Mm-hmm. The racism in the South says, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. You will be relegated to this place.
Right.
And we will do everything. We don't really have to do it, anything, because we've already set up the stops. So you will never enter into the type of respect that you see some people in the Black people in the North rising to, where they've got their natural hair or their dreadlocks and they're running marketing firms on Fifth Avenue. Mm. They're not a lot, but it can happen here. It could never in a place like Tampa or any place in Florida. And that's why my job is based in D.C. and most of the work that I do is outside of the South for that reason, because I can't make any money. Nobody believes I have the skills that I have, even though they've seen the community organizing that I've done in the, in the public sector. They've seen the work that I've done in the community organizing sector. They still don't believe that I can do these things in the private sector. So I just don't work in Florida. So when people tell me, hey, we need you in Florida, I'm like, you don't
You don't.
Two different things.
Right. Got some emails here to catch up on. This is from Rose in Pennsylvania, and she's talking about the Gladiators being equal to Super Bowl. Take that one step further. It is about giving the people bread and circuses to keep them stupid and docile, and it is working.
It is working. Did you see, did you guys see, what's his name, Kelsey? Singing his drunken rendition of Friends in Low Places, and he had to take the microphone from him. He was so drunk.
No, I don't care to see that. But
yeah, so he was so inebriated, he took the microphone and decided that he was going to do a rendition of Garth Brooks' Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Ray Cyrus. But I'm a country music fan, massive country music fan. Not this nonsense with Beyonce got a country. I'm a country music fan now. No, I'm a country fan, Confederate Railroad, Travis Tritt.
Yeah, she will karaoke country music. And it's like, oh, my God, where did you even learn that song?
Absolutely. I grew up on it. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. Don't tell nobody. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And bluegrass is a thing, was a thing. Every time you go to a public event, it was bluegrass. My mom was a big fan of like Dolly Parton and country gospel music. And so it just, you know, worked its way into my life. And before you knew it, I was listening to Randy Travis and Reba McEntire and Martina McBride and the old country stars, mm-hmm. not this Carrie stuff, not the new stuff, but the real country music. I love country music. So I like storytelling, right?
Yes.
And so I love it. I forgot what I was saying, but there it is.
There it is. Donna Davis, country music star.
And fan.
You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. Or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. We're talking right now about the NFL, but we're fixing to flip it over to the stellar array of potential presidential talent that's out there. Let me catch up on these last couple of emails. Greetings. Thank you for another solid show. Are you aware that the NFL is a charity and is therefore exempt from paying property taxes on stadiums in their respective municipalities? I did not know that.
Yeah, so there have been a 501c3. For a long time, and there's a movement. Let me just Google that, because things change and sometimes they don't make the news. That's been the case for a long time.
And he also says they do make a tax donation, but they typically don't come near what the tax would be. Thank you, Greg and Palm Harbor. That's fascinating to me. How on earth are they considered a charity, though? I mean, they're just a money machine.
The IRS says that professional football leagues, Section 501(c)(6), so there's C6, of the Internal Revenue Code specifically defines professional football leagues as exempt organizations.
Wow. Well, maybe we need to look at changing that. How about that?
Well, there's been a movement for some years since the whole Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yes.
There's been, these people are filthy rich. And on April 28th, it looks like it says, this is what I was wondering. In the midst of several National Football League scandals last October, Public Source asked freelance writer Patrick Doyle to take a look at the nonprofit status of the league. On April 28th, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said the league will no longer be tax exempt. So that we'd have to do another, we'd have to work on this because there's some mixed signals coming out of the news media.
Okay. Oh, what a shock that the news media has given us mixed signals.
Roger Goodell in 2012 earned $44 million. And I think that Americans aren't the most savvy consumers of the political product, as we've seen over the last, 40 years. But I think that as the things people can see, if the Brooklyn Bridge, if there's an accident there, as our infrastructure begins to crumble and we begin to experience real impact, from library and school closures, state universities not having what they need to educate our children, that people will trace the lines back to the lack of taxes being paid by organizations like the NFL that rake in billions of dollars and trillion-dollar companies not really paying taxes like Apple. People won't respond until they can feel the impact of the wealthy not paying taxes.
Right. And it's like, it's the hardest thing to explain to somebody who has grown up with the pull yourself up by your bootstraps, kind of thinking, because number one of the things is they firmly bought into that. This is the American dream. If you work hard, you'll get everything you want. And people who have government assistance are lazy and they don't want to work. And it's an uphill battle trying to convert the way that folks like that think. It's like,
well, think about how many years, Liz, we've been listening to Law and Order, crime. I was actually on a call a couple weeks ago that may or may not have been one of my calls for the campaign, where it was said, hey, Asian people, we were trying to figure out who the Asian people in Flushing would open the door for. I mean, in politics, this is not just a thing, a Swazi thing. We really try to figure out if we can get the right people talking to the right voters, right? Because it matters in America. It's still because of the way our country is, and I'll leave that there, that we have the right people knocking on people's doors. You're going to people's homes, so it matters. It absolutely matters who's knocking on the door. But there is never a situation where you can only send one type of canvasser to one type of family. Right. Mm-hmm. And it presumes that there's only one type of people in a neighborhood. And those neighborhoods don't exist in the United States anymore.
Right.
So we're still having this 1950s conversation in politics because of the way we are. And someone says, and I asked the question, if Asian people, Asian voters would open their doors and talk to white canvassers more freely, to which the response was, Asian voters probably will. First, it was probably, as if, duh. And then the explanation, colon, because Asian voters are concerned about crime.
Wow.
Just like that. So when I say these things happened, that's one example. I'm not comfortable really getting down into it because I don't want to be sued. But I can tell you that was one of the things that was said that raised my eyebrows of where I was in America and how they view the world.
Wow. I have an email here from a real person. Clever. Very proud of you for helping defeat the Trump-adjacent, dishonest, bizarro, genocidal GOP candidate who wanted to replace criminal Santos. Your hard work should inspire all of us to do the same thing. We need to get way more Dems elected in Florida. Trump actually took credit for her loss because she didn't endorse me, so that's why she lost. And then,
well, she was sitting here a few weeks ago saying that she would welcome him visiting. So I guess she didn't reach out to him and beg.
I heard that there was a story in it that I read the other day that he didn't even like his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, until she went on TV and started saying how awesome he was. And now she's going to be the co-chair of the RNC.
Oh, wow.
Here's an email from Jeff. I heard a guy call in and he made valid points critical of Trump. Now the Republicans have had other choices, people who seem to go more along with conservative ideals, but still Trump seems to lead. Why is that the case? Because he's got the biggest pulpit, I think. He has one election. And he's got the name recognition. He's got the base. They should have somebody more presentable. But I think one, most Republicans are afraid of being ostracized by their fellow party members if they don't toe the Trump line. What do you think, Donna? Why aren't better people coming to the fore?
Well, I've always maintained, as an insider of sorts, I've always maintained that the type of people that will run for office are not the type of people that you would necessarily take into your deepest confidences.
Right. Well, because... The vast majority of the politicians are not there to be confided in. They're there to supposedly make things better for their constituents, which they don't. But let's see. Oh, here's a good email. Or a text, rather. I heard you criticizing Taylor Swift for being a billionaire. Did you criticize any blacks for being billionaires? Is it okay?
They weren't listening.
No.
We're not listening. My post on my Facebook page says this, okay? The only time you hear me talking about black billionaires is because black billionaires deal with racism too, right?
Yes.
Other than that, they can all kick rocks.
Right.
All right? And so the post that's getting the most hits right now on my Facebook page, Donna L. Davis, if you want to go check it out, posted it 23 hours ago, says, I'll never ride for a billionaire, black, white, female,
yep,
etc.
That's
never.
True.
Y'all done lost y'all damn minds.
Right.
Okay? So Beyonce, Jay-Z, and I said this earlier in the show, right around the 10:17 mark, if you were listening, I said that I do not care who they are, Jay-Z, Kanye, Kim, Beyonce, it doesn't matter. Elon, all of them. I'm not writing for any of them. By the time you collect $1 billion, I'll give you an example of why, okay? Taylor Smith, if she was someone that I knew and she wasn't a billionaire detached from her her billionaire status, I'd probably think she was a nice person, right?
Yep.
I'd probably say she's a sweet girl. But... because I know people like that. I know people who always want to give and they're asking, hey, Mackenzie Scott, she's trying to give it all away, right? She didn't ask for it. She's trying to give it away. That's what it looks like when someone is like, I'm going to give the Champlain Housing District. You know what Champlain Housing does in Vermont? Champlain is the name of a river up there. And the Champlain Housing Trust actually helps people who live on the margins establish themselves financially and become homeowners, right? It's a way to create passive wealth for folks who may not otherwise have the opportunity. She just gave them $20 million, not $2 million, not $500,000, not a $250,000 grant, you know, some rent, some interest pinched off, but $20 million, right? Crazy amounts of money going into HBCUs, millions of dollars. She's trying to give it away. It's hard to give away that much money, right? That's what it looks like. It doesn't look like what you guys think it looks like. But the short answer to your question is no billionaires get my cosign, because there are, and I wrote this last week, a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, that the hot people who are selling the hot dogs, the people who are the temp jobs that they put on Craigslist when they come to town to get people to come and peddle the $100 hoodies and $50 t-shirts, mm-hmm. Those people are paid a subsistence. The people who clean the stadium are not paid properly. The people who fly the jet are not rich. The people who, the stage hands, oftentimes stage hands and dancers are local folks who answer ads, and they come and they go through a tryout so that they don't have to travel with musicians. Some musicians are just that good. They will travel with the singer, but they don't travel in the same style and level as the musician is traveling, although the musician could afford to do that. They don't stay in the same type of hotels that the musician stays in. So the members of the entourage are not living like the singer. Mm-hmm. And so there's levels to this. And I'm sure that no one in Taylor Smith's entourage can become wealthy with the salaries that they're being paid, even if they're over market. And that is how rich people get and stay that wealthy. Period.
So there you have the answer.
Oh, and no. One more thing. I will post for you all on my personal page the salaries of her people, since everybody's going around and just repeating the idea that her people are paid so well and get so many bonuses. That is a meme. The actual verified list of Taylor Smith's people's salaries. Now, keep in mind, I'm not coming for Taylor Swift. I have not ad hominem attacked her. I'm talking about billionaires in general, of which she's one, and what she actually pays her people. Do your due diligence before you speak, and you go and actually look and see. She is not paying them any better than any other industry when you lay it all out. That's all I got.
All right. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. We're getting into the home stretch, so if you want to talk, give us a call now, 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org.
So I have a question. I think that Dr. Cole is on. Dr. Cole, are you on?
I don't think she is.
I'm here.
Oh, there she is. Hey, you snuck up on me.
I sure did. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. So Dr. Cole and I were talking last night about a potential Democrat who could steal the whole show. And
Donna knows this story about me very well. We talk about it all the time.
Because I was thinking a few weeks ago, I'm like, dang, I certainly don't co-sign on the current Democratic nominee, Biden, who seems to lose more mental acuity every passing moment. But anyway, so I was trying to think, you know, who has the name recognition, who has, and I'm like, Al Franken, former senator.
That's my guy. That is my guy.
And so it's like, because if you remember when when all the scandal came out in the Senate, and all these white women were so mad that he had quit, because, you know, and it's like, believe women, and yeah, there was photographic evidence here, but he's perfect because, number one, he's smart. Number two, he knows all the stuff, how everything works. And number three, he's a living example of how you take accountability and responsibility when you do something sketch. So I'm like, man. And so when I floated that out, oh, no, Maria started last night. She put something like, what was it, President 47?
He posted he and his wife for Valentine's Day, and I sent it to you guys and he tweeted it, and I sent it to you guys, POTUS 47, because he's my guy.
Yeah. I think he would be perfect. I would vote for him in a heartbeat. I think everybody would vote for anybody but the two that are up on the stage.
I often fantasize about what that debate stage would look like.
Holy,
you know what
cow.
I mean?
Yeah.
And
wow.
And that's kind of where I go with it.
Yeah. Well, because he's real. I mean, if you don't know all his background, I mean, he's a wordsmith. He was a writer for many years before he went into Congress. He's very smart. I've actually read some of the books he's read. So that thought, Maria, has gotten the queue lit up. So let's talk to Tom in South Tampa.
So late in the show.
4 minutes left.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Tom from South Tampa. And I'm just enjoying your show. And as long as you brought up the idea of optional or thoughts to think about instead of Mr. Biden, I wish we had more time. We have no time. We all have to be on the Biden train with Vice President Kamala, and maybe he should have considered a different vice presidential candidate to make the ticket more palatable. But that's
well, Kamala is the least of my concerns on the ticket, you know. So.
Right, and by the way, she's okay. I was a little disappointed that she had such a rough start to her vice presidential office. Somehow she doesn't get along with a lot of people, but she's very bright, in my opinion. And she will be. I'm not worried about Biden having his little lapses, but the vice president is there for that very reason. Don't you agree? I think so.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be, but how does that work in practice? Because, so, yeah.
I don't know.
Can I just jump in?
Hold on. All right.
Because there was a Politico article the other day that said that both of these parties and then convention this summer may go to floor votes.
Yes.
And that's really why we just speculated last week and this week. It's not, I mean, it seems to be a lot of pearl clutching about get on board the Biden train. And that's not what we're doing here. We're speculating based on these reports that these conventions may come down to a floor vote. And that's, you know,
they might.
Really, but yeah. It is.
And Tom, it's not like we didn't know that the election was coming 4 years ago. So we've had plenty of time to get somebody that is palatable in place.
You're talking to someone who's originally from Democratic Cook County, Chicago. And I brought my Democratic votes with my wife to South Tampa, Hillsborough County. We'll do our best, but we have no choice. The election is November 5th. We got to get everybody as registered. You know, we're just. Yeah, you're right. It could come down to floor votes. We get it.
All right.
We've got no choice.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Let's see. Solar in St. Pete. Did I say your name right? I doubt it.
Sola. Like the sun.
Yeah. Okay. So what can we do for you today, Sola?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment when she was talking about billionaires and their donations. That's just like the billionaire who just paid her money to Spelman College. If you look at their breakdown, they shaded. A lot of that money don't get to the student. They say they give them money to the college and what have you. But you look at who actually benefit from it, it's really not the student. So simply because a billionaire is donating some money, that doesn't mean that you're really doing something great.
That has to do with the school, right?
Yeah, the school allocates where the money goes. Yeah.
The school's responsible for that, not the giver.
Thank you so much for calling, Sola. Hopefully you can call back another time and we can pick up the conversation. But for right now, We have to wind it down. Frank has given us the finger. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next week, and we will talk to you then.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can.
This is WM.